We don't tend to give much thought to Adam and Eve in the garden prior to the rebellion. But think for a moment, in light of what was just read from Genesis chapter 1, what would they have been doing if there was never the rebellion that took place when Adam ate from the one and only tree God said don't eat from? What would they be doing? Think about that. We have dominion over animals, subduing, multiplying. Now, if you had to think of one word to describe what they would be doing, what word would you use? Now, before we get to that word, what would they do for worship? What would their worship look like? What would that consist of if there was never the rebellion? Certainly wouldn't be offering sacrifices. Would they be singing? Maybe. Well, the answer to the first question is the same answer to the second question. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to lie in a hammock and sip from a coconut as the breezes blew. No, I'm sorry, different translation. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden, right by the ocean, where he could surf all the time. Oh, that was my perversion of the text. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work and to keep it. A few months back at the pastor's lunch I went to, the topic was work as worship. Before they told us the topic, they asked everyone what comes to mind when they think of work. Well, I kind of ruined it by going to Genesis, but what comes to your mind when you think of work prior to now thinking about Genesis? Toil, labor, annoying, boring, gotta do it, hate it, begrudgery, school, work, home, work, chores, work, right? But the thing is, we were created to work. Work is not a result of the rebellion. Complications, difficulties, toil that now has to go into work, that is a result of Adam's rebellion. We could look in Genesis 3 where God says, you know, cursed be the ground, now by the sweat of your brow. Now by the sweat of your brow, when you work, thorns and thistles will pop up. But Adam and Eve were to be working and having babies and dealing with all that's involved with having babies prior to the rebellion. They were to be working. You think of work, though, and you think about, you know, Keysight or Safeway or 24-hour fitness or whatever. But what if we insert, instead of work, serve? Adam and Eve would have been serving the Lord. And that's exactly what worship is. It's service. Service unto the Lord. That's why often the same word talks about the service of like the Levites at the temple, of their service. It's worship. Romans 12. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1. Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to the Lord. This is your spiritual act of worship. Or you could put service. They're one and the same. Work is not a result of Adam's rebellion. We were designed to work. Work has been complicated and frustrated by Adam's rebellion. as a consequence of Adam's rebellion, but we were designed to work. What this means for us as Christians is that, in one sense, our work is no different than Sunday worship, in that it is rendered unto God, and so has eternal, lasting value. Now, of course, it's different. We're not together with other Christians. We're not singing and hearing from the Word of God. That's worship, yes, but so is work. This is, for many of you, this is not a new concept. But if I were a wagering man, which I'm not, I would wager you lose sight of that. You forget that. And you're used to another verse or another passage in Scripture. Go ahead and turn there. Colossians chapter 3. I bet some of the youngins might be able to quote this verse for us. Colossians 3:17. And whatever you do, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Is that what it's been like for you on Mondays? Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays. Maybe you work nights. Maybe you work Saturdays. If you're in Christ, by grace through faith, if you are a child of God, God's holy people, then your work is sanctified too. It's set apart. Your service to God includes your work. Everything and anything we do can be rendered unto God in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him, through Jesus. And you want to know which work you can be the most confident about, that it's in God's will that you do? The work that you absolutely have to do. And when you realize that, it's freeing, because work itself then is no longer the issue. Because that is an opportunity to engage in, partake in, that which has value beyond whatever you produce in your work. Typical response of a student: why do I have to do algebra? I am never going to use this. Do you ever use algebra, Dad? No, I don't. Actually, occasionally I do. John, in your job, you do all the time. I understand that. I don't. Just occasionally when it comes to some financial stuff and interest rates. But they ask those questions. And actually, if it's memorizing the presidents and you never have to say that again, or it never ever comes up for you, or the periodic table and you don't go into chemistry, it still has value, it can, and you still have the opportunity to worship God in that. Is that your view, Trey? Yeah, I'm picking on you because you're talking. Right? So here's the issue. What work do you do that you have to do? Right. And if there's work you have to do, you have a job that you have to have, then you can be confident that you can worship God in that. Changing diapers, feeding kids, the one thing that I actually would rather change a little one's diaper than feed them. Because, you know, it's like feeding a moving target that returns the ammo back at you. But they need to eat. and you need to feed them because they're not going to feed themselves. All these things, from the most mundane to, okay, great, your job is you're a brain surgeon. Whatever it is. And then other things that come our way that we had no choice about. I knew that there was some power issues at the Salonen household. I just found out tonight that actually there was a surge and a bunch of stuff got broken. Stuff that needs to and has to get fixed. Wasn't Sean's plan to deal with all these things. But since you didn't cause it, you didn't ask for it, but you have to take care of it, you have an opportunity to worship. Now, if you want to go polish your collection of whatchamacallits, because they keep getting dusty, they need to be taken care of, you have to wrestle with that. You have to discern through that. Is that pleasing to God or not that you're spending your time there? What else could you be doing and whatever? But that's not my issue tonight. That's not what I want to deal with. I want to deal with the things that we have to do. If we have to do them, Adam, Eve, before the rebellion, exercise dominion over the earth and everything on it. Multiply, fill it, subdue it. It's work. Anything you have to do, your work, is actually your opportunity to worship. And I like using the example of the Salonen household because I've had to deal with a bunch of things this past year that I did not and tend not to want to deal with. Now, if I decided I just didn't like my old house and so I had it bulldozed and I wanted to have it rebuilt from the ground up, then I'd have to only be looking in the mirror and go, well, you asked for this. But I didn't ask for it. And I confess, I've been grumbling and complaining about how to deal with all these dumb details over a house when there was a house that worked just fine, except for the leaky roof and some other issues, before the fire. But wait a second. I didn't ask for it. I didn't cause it. And for the most part, it's really the best option to deal with it, so I realized, oh yeah, that's part of my work. That's part of my work. So I don't know what work there is for you besides your quote-unquote 9-to-5 job. The fact that you're a student or wherever you're at right now and household issues and children issues or whatever it is you're taking care of, there's probably other stuff that comes along. But if you don't have a choice in the matter, that, along with whatever it is you do to put bread on the table or take care of the necessities of life and the things that come along with life, what you have before you is your opportunity to worship. And again, if this concept isn't new to you, great. It's not new to me. When I had that luncheon with the other pastors, the question was, what comes to your mind when you think of work? When it came my turn to answer, I said, worship. And the guy who was leading the discussion said, really? And I was like, yeah. It really does. But I was divorcing some of the things in my life from work. Like in my case, overseeing the rebuild. I just, somehow that didn't make it into that category. So, even if the concept is not new to you, how are you viewing the things in your life? What's your response? Is there grumbling and complaining? Are you trying to figure out some way to get out of it? To get around it? To avoid it? Now, we need breaks. We need rest. Jesse just read for us 6 days, and what happened on the seventh day? God rested. He created rest for man. And if you look at Israel and their calendar, they get a lot of rest days. But maybe that's what the Europeans did, the Germans especially. Maybe they followed the Hebrew calendar. They seem to always have vacation time. So that's not to say that we're not finite beings. We need our sleep. Children, that's why we make you go to bed early. We need our sleep. We need rest. God gives vacations. Jesus got exhausted. I'm not saying work yourself 24/7, don't ever rest. No, that's rebellion. But take some time, and we just clicked over to the new year, although it's already 20 days in. Take some time to think about the things in your life. How are you viewing your obvious job, whatever that might be? Again, I don't mean you have to be a job you're getting paid for. Children, your job is your students and your chores. You probably think about that, and that's rightly so. But about other things that come along. When tree branch falls on power wires and sends a surge through your house, and now you got to deal with that, and plumbing leaks, and car breakdowns, and family needs, and this, that, and the other thing. It's all a lot. It's all work. But work isn't a dirty word, even if you're getting dirty when you're working, because you're working on the ground, or the plumbing, or the car. Your regular quote-unquote job, but other things. How have you been viewing them? Are you embracing them as worship, as opportunities to worship? See, the curse hasn't been reversed yet. But for the Christian, our work is redeemed, if you will, sanctified. It has a value beyond whatever's accomplished in the here and now, because we get to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And I know we call, you, sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. I think for the most part we tend to call the Sunday morning the worship service. What's the order of worship? And that's okay, but there's danger in that. Especially because you have the whole culture now of worship music, as if, like, you know, hymns aren't, but then there's this worship music, and there's a, you know, we start to make categories that actually in some ways go too far, and they create categories that don't exist. Worship. Doing everything, including work, whatever that might be. The regular work you do, or the work that comes along that you didn't ask for, wouldn't ask for, and don't want, can be worship. Everything. Anything. And that is exactly what's going on there in Romans 12. Offer your lives as a living sacrifice. So back to where we started. Adam and Eve. What would they have been doing? Subduing, exercising dominion, having kids, tending the garden, working and keeping it. Not because of the rebellion, but before the rebellion. How are you viewing work? In English, it's nice because work begins with a W and so does worship. So the next time you think about work, or you got work to do, whether you're picking up a sponge, a hammer, a scalpel, a pencil, sitting at the keyboard, whatever it is, you go to do some work. It is work. But think, I'm going to worship. Not the same way exactly as we do when we go to Sunday morning and worship with the body of Christ. But we're going to worship. It's easy to lose sight of that. It's easy to confuse the difficulties in our work with the fact that actually work was what we're designed for from the very beginning. And again, I confess I've been doing that. Not with my quote-unquote day job, which I know you're going to say is easier for me, but there's the challenge there also for pastors. But in the other things that have been put on my plate that I didn't want, that I wouldn't ask for, I've not been viewing them as my opportunity to worship. To my loss. How do you view work? Join me in prayer. Father, while our first response, my first response, might want to be to get out of all work, to have that hammock to rest in when I've surfed so much I'm too tired to do anything else or paddle anymore. But that's wrong. That's rebellion. That's to my loss. How amazing you are that you have made it so that even now, after the rebellion or the fall, when the difficulties in work are so great, you have made it so that our work can be worship. That in the most mundane, seemingly regular tasks, we can do it for you. Almighty Father, maker of heaven and earth, you who worked by your word in calling all things into existence, we can do it giving thanks to you through Jesus, by whose work on the cross this is all made possible. Father, you are amazing, gracious, kindly stooping down in so many ways, and gently reminding us from your word that whatever we're doing can be worship. And that's what we were created for. To worship you. And in worshiping you, we will know a joy beyond the things in this life. A rightness, a completeness, a fullness that we can never have apart from you. What a gift. Thank you, Father. I ask that you would be merciful to each one of us here, from the youngest one able to understand half my words, some of them, the main idea, to the oldest person here, male and female, student, homemaker, engineer, whatever. Father, you would grant that our thinking and our perspective on the work we have to do would be transformed. That we would see it and embrace it as an opportunity to serve you, the living God. Offer up to you worship that is acceptable, pleasing to you, and of great benefit to us. Father, may we all the more so every day be worshiping you in everything we say and do, word or deed, work or quote-unquote play. May more and more of our lives and our activities be worship, for you deserve it. And that is what we were designed for and bought and paid for with the blood of Christ, who gave himself to redeem us and make for a people, to make a people for himself, zealous for good deeds. Grant this, Father, to our blessing and joy, to the exaltation of Christ for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Was there another song? You're dismissed.